This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, everyone. And
We did say we were going to talk. This is a good time. We were talking about what we were going to talk about before we started talking about it. Anyhow, and I mentioned that we hadn't mentioned cars and boats and motorcycles, motorhomes, that sort of thing. This is the time of the year. We're getting kind of toward the end of summer, and you know, maybe that boat or RV is just kind of on its last legs, and just don't want to put any more money into it and that sort of thing. Well, before you throw it away, call Catholic Radio. Even if it doesn't run, if it has to be towed away, that's all right. If you give us a call or visit our website, you can donate that car to Catholic Radio. We can turn it into cash. It'll be a donation for Catholic Radio. You'll get a nice tax write-off for your taxes as you do your taxes. And kind of everybody wins. And again, it doesn't. If it runs, fine. But if it doesn't run or has to be towed, that's perfectly fine, too. There's two ways you can do it real easily. Go to the website, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see a little banner that says Donate Your Vehicle. If you just click there, you won't believe how simple it is. Name, address, phone number, VIN number, push the button, and somebody will call you, and it'll be out of your hair in no time at all. It's that simple. Or you can call us here at the station, 317-870-8400, and we can help you through the process over the phone as well. So if you have something like that, please give us a call. And you know, sometimes you have a vehicle, especially, you know, and it just needs a little repair, and you just set it aside and you're going to fix it, but you just don't quite get around to it. And before you know it, it's got a flat tire. And before you know it, the neighbors are kind of looking at you a little funny as they drive by. And
would you get rid of that piece of junk?
Well, call us. We can help you, or go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Well, for today's segment of Faith in Action, I am delighted to have John L. Sasser, Executive Director of the Indiana Non-Public Education Association, in the studio. Welcome to Faith in Action, John.
Hi, Bridget. It's great to be here. My first time at Catholic Radio, so I'm excited. It's good. Looking forward to the opportunity to chat a little bit.
Yeah, well, we won't scare you too much, right, Jim?
Of course not.
Jim,
we'll save all the questions, the really tough questions, for the second half. We start with the easy ones.
Yeah, you think I'm asking the questions, but then Jim will pop in, and you just never know what he's going to ask over there.
Well, I'm just sitting here to see if there's any cars or trucks on my street that I need to recommend that they give you a call. So.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe.
And I guess we should mention that those ought to be your cars.
Oh, yeah.
They're not the neighbor's one that's bothering you.
Yeah,
we can't help you with that.
Yeah, people will be putting little Catholic Radio cards on their neighbor's items. Okay. Well, John, tell us a little bit about the INPEA.
Yeah, Indiana Non-Public Education Association was established really back in 1974.
Okay, I didn't know it's been around that long.
We've been around a long time. And I always like to say that it was the 12 visionary private school leaders who came around the table, and they realized, you know, there were some things that we could do better together than as either an individual school or a group of schools, like an archdiocese or a diocese.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically was the birth of the organization, which now has grown into 12 different jurisdictions, and that would be like the five Catholic dioceses, the Lutheran District, Seventh-day Adventist Conference, Jewish day schools, independent schools, and well over 400 schools are a part of our organization.
And so you're obviously just Indiana, so you encompass... Your members are almost all the non-public schools, or those who want to be a part of the group?
Because it is a membership association, they have to join, and there are dues that they pay to be a part of that. I'd say we probably represent 85 to 90% of the non-public schools across the state of Indiana.
And what portion of that are Catholic as an average?
You know, I'd say probably 60, 65, 70%, somewhere in that range.
Okay. All right, so now, how did you get into this, John? Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you go to St. Simon.
Yes, I attend St. Simon the Apostle over on Oak Landon Road, but I'm a long time
educator?
Worker in the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
I started my career early on in special education and was standing at a water fountain, and someone approached me about being a Catholic school principal. So I went to my church, talked to my pastor, and next thing I know, I was a elementary Catholic school principal at the age of 22.
Wow.
Did that for 6 years, and then went to a Catholic high school in southern Ohio. My principalship was in southern West Virginia, and then I moved to southern Ohio for a Catholic high school principalship. And then was invited by a colleague and friend to come and work in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston as assistant superintendent. So I was in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston in a diocesan office for 16 years as assistant superintendent, superintendent of schools, and then I was secretary of education. Went to the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia for 3 years, and then I was having, probably shouldn't say this, I was watching a football game at a bar at a superintendent's conference with the current chancellor of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, Mickey Lentz. She was cheering for her Colts, I was cheering for my Steelers, and she told me about this particular position, and I said, you know, that's kind of intriguing. Let's talk a little bit more about it. I've been here now, starting my 11th year with IMPEA.
Wow, what a great story. You know, I think it's just really interesting to hear, you know, I have this perspective of hearing lots of people's background and just how much Catholic education and just being a part of the Catholic Church has really impacted them in terms of their faith life and how they, you know, kind of pay it forward in their professions too. What's it been like to be a part of the IMPEA, I guess, from a faith perspective? And usually I ask this at the end, but I'm going to ask it at the beginning.
Sure. I think it was like 28 years in Catholic school leadership, and I can remember, matter of fact, sitting, watching that game with Mickey, and I said, you know, I've spent my life in faith-based organizations. You know, this, I don't know that I can move into something that I perceived as being a secular organization. She said, oh, no, John. Mm-hmm. The culture of this organization is very faith-based, and probably 90% of our members are from faith-based schools. One of the real gifts that I have encountered over the last 11 years, after being for 28 years with my Catholic school blinders on, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
is the wonderful work that's happening ecumenically in private school education, not only in Indiana, but across the country. I can remember when I came and I was kind of doing an introductory tour, going out and meeting with folks. And I went up to Fort Wayne and I met with the superintendent at that time, was Father Steve Kempner.
Mm-hmm.
Met with some Catholic school principals and we prayed. I went over to the Fort Wayne district office and I met with some Lutheran principals and we prayed. And I drove over to Northwest Indiana and met with a group of Christian principals and we prayed. And just the opportunity to experience that ecumenically has been a really gift for me. You know, I've gone into prayer services in Islamic schools. I've worked with Jewish schools. And so that has really just enriched my own faith life by being able to experience faith through a variety of other traditions.
That is a real, I never really thought about that aspect of your, you know, of your role.
You know, Bridget, I have people tell me all the time, my board is made up of the five superintendents. We have a Jewish rabbi, you know, and to see the diversity around that table. And we're affiliated with a national organization called CAPE, Council for American Private Education, who do the same thing at the national level as we do at the state level.
Okay.
And the diversity that sits around that table, I sit there all the time and if I'm at a meeting and saying, you know, if our political leaders could come around the table the same way that we as education leaders do and find common ground, that we, even though we come from different faith traditions, we may have different educational philosophies, but we say that we really share a lot of the same challenges and some of the, you know, the same focus of what we're trying to accomplish in our schools.
Absolutely. So if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with John L. Sesser. He is the executive director of the Indiana Non-Public Education Association. And tell us a little bit about your work. What exactly do you do?
Well, the elevator speech that I tell folks when they say, what are you? My kids, I've been trying to explain. They don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. Superintendent, they kind of got. But when mm-hmm. I came here, it took a while for them. And when they said, kids ask, what's your dad do? They have a hard time explaining it. I always say there's two arms to our organization. We have an advocacy side, Mm-hmm. And so I prefer to call myself an advocate, but technically mm-hmm. I'm a registered part-time lobbyist. So I work very closely with the General Assembly on any kind of legislation that would impact non-public schools. I work very closely with the State Department of Education to help our schools kind of navigate that bureaucracy. I serve on multiple committees. Anytime the state needs a token non-pub guy, they call me and say, mm-hmm. John, will you serve on the Seclusion and Restraint Commission? Will you serve on the graduation pathways so that they have that non-public school voice at the table, which is really important.
It is. It really is.
So do a lot on the advocacy side. Also, we have a whole professional development and consultation side, which I think you're aware of. You, if I remember correctly, came and took some pictures for us way back in the day. We do conferences for administrators, conferences for teachers. We're, matter of fact, right now planning for our what we call our IMPEC conference, the Indiana Non-Public Educators Conference. That we hold at the convention center. It's going to be October 29th and 30th. You know, we have about 100 sessions, 2 keynoters, 100 vendors. And it's really great to be able to see the diversity of folks who come. As I said, that's the real gift of our organization. And I think you had shared with me, you know, what would be the kind of theme of the segment. And from my perspective, I always talk about unity and diversity. Mm-hmm. We have great diversity in our non-public schools, which I think is a gift to the communities in which they reside. You know, parents in the state of Indiana have lots to choose from. They have quality public schools, they have charter schools, they have a diverse array of non-public schools, various different faith traditions, different kinds of educational programs. So it's a real gift to Indiana to have that kind of opportunity available for families to find that right fit for their son and daughter.
We need to take a quick break, so stay tuned and we'll be right back for more Faith in Action.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just 2 words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then, below that in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
Start your weekend off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Join James Littleton for Forming Faithful Families at 9, followed by the pro-life message of I Choose Life at 9:30. Then enjoy today's music with a Catholic message at 10 on Catholic Jukebox Indiana. At 11 o'clock, we'll share an hour of Catholic thought and philosophy on the Catholic Cave. And at noon, it's time to grab a bite, sit back, and enjoy some food for thought with 2 episodes of Faith in Action. That's the Saturday morning lineup from your source for 100% Catholic programming, Catholic Radio Indy.
And the work that God does through you, it's brought joy to the people that I'm around because I'm a different person because of you guys.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with John Elsasser. He is the Executive Director of the Indiana Non-Public Education Association. And we are talking about all the things that you do. And one of the things that you are involved in is advocacy. So you work with lawmakers and the Department of Education to kind of make sure that the voice of non-public schools is heard as public policy is being made. I want to talk a little bit about some of the topics that you are involved in, or either school safety, religious liberty, or the choice scholarship / voucher program. So you can take any one of those and tell me what you're doing, or what's how your group is helping in those areas.
I guess probably best to start with school choice.
Okay.
And as we talked about earlier, you know, the benefits of non-public school education and being able to provide those options, something that I've always believed very strongly about and what brings passion to my work is that all families should be able to take advantage of a school that provides the right opportunity for their son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, that's only been available if a family could afford to choose where they live so they could pick their public school district, or they had the affluence to pay for private school tuition.
Right.
Well, there's programs that are sweeping across this country that are providing opportunities for lower income families, up to even middle income families, to be able to make those choices more affordable. You know, people should not be limited by their zip code in terms of the choice of their school, and whether that's finding that right educational program for their son or daughter, or whether that's finding a school that values system and it's, you know, fits with what that family's trying to teach their children at home, that they know that's being supported and partnered, you know, at the school level. So when I came to Indiana in 2008, a lot of groundwork has been laid, and a common friend of ours, Mr. Glenn Tebbe from the Indiana Catholic Conference, did a lot of the work before I came to town. But I was blessed to come in 2008. 2009, we passed tax credit legislation. In 2011, we passed voucher or choice scholarship legislation,
which is actually one of the largest in the country, is it not?
We have well over 35,000 students in Indiana. We've grown from the first year at 3,900 to 35,000 kids whose lives are being impacted. You know, one of the blessings of my job is I travel around the state of Indiana and I meet with principals and I meet with teachers, I meet with families and kids, and I hear the direct beneficiary and how these programs are not only benefiting the students that are attending the schools, but it's benefiting the families as a whole. I was in Evansville a couple years ago, and we were meeting with some legislators, and we brought some families in to meet with them as well. And there was at a Christian school, Evansville Christian School down in Evansville. And the mother came in and she said, you know, it's amazing what this has done for my children. But she says, this has made me a better mother. She goes, I was working three jobs and trying to pay tuition. And she goes, now I'm able to help my kids with their homework. I'm able to go to school activities. And so she was, you could see that it's not only impacting kids, but through those kids, it's impacting families as well. And I think that's, as we talk about our Catholic schools in particular, that's always been a part of our mission. We're able to provide formation to kids, but through those kids, we're able to touch their families and their parents as well.
In the overall scheme of education in the state of Indiana, for example, how big is the private school or the non-public school portion of the student population?
It's about 10%.
That's small. Mm-hmm. I would have guessed it was larger.
Over a million, I think, in the overall, and we're at about 100,000, somewhere around there.
And kind of stable or growing or shrinking?
You know, I would say stable overall, growing in pockets. You know, and I think choice has been, you know, a contributor to that because it has enabled families to be able to make that choice. And so it really ends up being a win-win-win. It's a win for those families. The state, in their support of these programs, end up paying less to that non-public school than what they would pay for that child to attend a public school. So the state is benefiting as well. You know, in the schools, as you said, are having some stable enrollment and really growth and some expansion in some pockets around the state.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about religious liberty and how that is related to maybe the school choice issue. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, one of the things that when we started choice in schools and said that, yeah, we're willing to be a part of this, because when I talk about choice in the Catholic arena and really in the faith-based arena, I talk about mission fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I think our bishops in the state embraced it. I think that's why our superintendents embraced it, because when you talk from a Catholic perspective, and we talk about our Catholic social teachings and we talk about preferential option for the poor, choice you know, we talk about parents being able to be the primary educators. They should be making those decisions, not based by the government or the zip code. It fits with where we come from a Catholic Church perspective and from many of our other faith traditions as well. As they engaged, it's important that they still wanted to protect their autonomy as well.
Sure.
So as we look at, you know, our religious liberty, one of the things, that, for instance, in the state of Indiana, some voucher programs, the one in Wisconsin, which is one of the first voucher programs, families can opt out of religion if they participate. So if you have a voucher student, they can choose not to. In Indiana, we said that's a no-go. Mm-hmm. When we created our law, we said that's one of the lines in the sand, mm-hmm. is that you're not going to mess with mission. And when you buy the product, so to speak, you're buying the whole product. And the reason that we're successful is because of that whole product. You can't pull out a dimension of the program.
A central dimension of
the most central dimension of the program. Exactly.
The founding dimension, you know,
so
the mission.
We have tried to walk that fine line of, to participate in this program, schools have to do some things. They have to report, they have to, you know, follow some particular guidelines, but we always want to protect the individual mission of that school, and in particular, if it's a faith-based school. You know, we can get into a lot of the religious liberty kinds of issues in terms of, you know, admissions of students. And in our law in Indiana, we're able to maintain our admission standards.
Okay.
So we can give preference to a Catholic who wants to enroll in their school because their church is helping to financially support that school as well. You know, but as we get into admissions and we get into the hiring practices, we get into the whole topic around, which we could go on forever, around LGBTQ issues and hiring. You know, those are the things that we want to make sure that our schools can still maintain their practices as it relates to their religious identity and their mission.
Right. And you know, sometimes when we talk about the, you know, the LGBTQ or whatever, whether it has to do with Catholic Charities or, you know, the Catholic Church, basically they want people that are carrying out their faith life. So there could be someone who might be, you know, to a teacher that might be living with their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. It's not necessarily targeting LGBTQ.
That's exactly right.
And so I think that's a distinction that you need to make, that, you know, we want people teaching in Catholic institutions that are
practicing the faith and modeling that faith.
Right. So it's not just singling out that specific thing.
Exactly.
Same with a non-married couple that wants to adopt or something
right.
like that.
Right.
With Catholic Charities or, you know, something like that.
And I talk to school leaders about that all the time, because from a media perspective, from a public outreach perspective, it's easy to focus on one particular issue when it's not one particular issue. It's a broader value-based kind of an issue.
So let's move. We have about 6 minutes left, but let's move to school safety, since that's a hot topic. I didn't know we were going to do hot topics today, but this is fun.
School safety, not only here in Indiana, but across the country, it has been a huge issue since the days when, you know, Columbine, which really started to get schools to focus more on, you know, we have to be more conscious of this and how do we ensure that our kids are safe. And then the very unfortunate tragedy that happened here in Noblesville, which has really brought it to home here in the state of Indiana. You know, our superintendent of public instruction, who we work closely with, Dr. Jennifer McCormick, this has become a very huge issue for her, and she's been really, you know, kind of carrying the banner. From a Catholic school perspective, and as you talk about autonomy and religious liberty, it's very important to us that we keep our schools safe. And there was a law passed its last session. And what they attempted originally to do was to try to make non-public schools have to do everything that the public school corporation had to do around school safety. And our pushback was, you know, I have some Seventh-day Adventist school where there's one professional staff in the building. It's the principal, the teacher. They don't have the ability to do what a school corporation can do that has much more administrative capacity.
Sure.
So what we agreed to is that all of our schools need to have a safety plan. They need to be doing emergency drills. And, you know, and back in my day, that just meant fire drill
or
tornado drill. Now we're talking about, you know, shelter in place, active shooter drills, and those kind of things that you prepare for, but that you hope that you never have to use.
Right.
And that we also have to make sure that that our teachers and we have people going through training as it relates to safety. And how do we, you know, make sure that our teachers are aware. What do we do in certain kinds of circumstances? And then making sure that we're working closely with our first responders, with our police, with our fire department. And from a general perspective, those are the key elements. And we agree to that. And we believe in non-public schools, all schools should be doing that. Do we all have to do it the exact same way? Not necessarily. So that's been a little bit of the legislative discussion, some of the administrative discussion with the department. Department here in the state of Indiana is one of the leaders as it relates to school safety. They have a school safety academy they provide for free for public schools, non-public schools, charter schools, and it's, you know, it's known all over the country as being an excellent program for training around school safety.
So going back to our off the hop topics, getting back to the INPEA and what you see non-public schools providing, what do they do for our culture and what do they do for the kids and the families in 3 minutes or less?
Well, you know, from my perspective, go anywhere in Indianapolis, go to a meeting, go to a business, go in and ask, how many of you yourselves attended or you've had your children attend a non-public school? When you want to see the impact on common good, look at the product of what we produce. Now, just having those options available, and especially for families who want to have their children in a faith-based setting, mm-hmm. I've never understood how you can teach things when you have to separate out the faith dimension. That's not, we're integrated people.
Right.
And that's why Catholic schools, faith-based schools, are able to teach in an integrated way, that your spirituality, your faith dimension is an integrated part of who you are, and we can interact with that as we're talking about math and science and whatever that subject may be. How you're able to do that when you're trying to break it apart, I think, long term, that's not going to be beneficial for that person being an integrated person of faith.
Good point. Well, if you want to learn more about the Indiana Non-Public Education Association, could you give us your webpage, John?
Sure. It's www.inpea.org.
My guest today has been John L. Sasser, Executive Director of the Indiana Non-Public Education Association. Thanks so much for being my guest, John.
Thanks for having me, Bridget. Good to meet you, Jim.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.